Let's go to the word of the Lord today. And I want to look at a few scriptures, and I want you to look at the screen along with me. Pastor Alex said on last week as I was here in service that he's starting a series on the end. And he gave that powerful presentation showing the rapture, and people were there and then the next second they were gone. And so he's starting in on the end. I want to kind of pre-jump his message and give you a little bit to tell you how you can get connected in with the end time ministry that's happening in the land today. There's a movement going on, people. There's a movement. It's radical. It's revolutionary. And if you sign up for this, you can't be scared. You've got to have some boldness, and you have to make a stand to say, for God I'll live, and for God I might just have to die. And this is the age that we're living in, and I want to bring this message to you today, and it simply says three words: count me in. Come on, say that after me. Count me in. From the book of Joel, the second chapter, the 28th verse, going to the 32nd verse, this is what the prophet prophesied about this day. Prophecy was foretold years ago. It is talked about this day today. Then after doing all these things, God said, I will pour out my spirit upon how many people? All people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy or foretell of the goodness of God or foretell of the work of God. Your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions. This is what's going to be happening at the end. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on servants, ordinary people, men and women alike. And I will cause wonders in the heavens and on the earth. There will be phenomenal things happening in the heavens and on earth. Blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before that great and terrible day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, even in the midst of that great day, shall be saved. For some of Mount Zion in Jerusalem will escape, just as the Lord has said. These will be among the survivors, the remnant, whom the Lord has called. There is a calling in the land today, and the Lord is calling for people that he can count on. And the scripture prophesies that we are living in the end times. We're not at the beginning of the end times. We're at the end of the end times. So what has been spoken already, we are in the midst of every prophecy being fulfilled. The book of Matthew foretells, prophesies everything that will happen in the end times. And if you look and if you do a history, a study on that, you will see that there's just about one or two prophecies left to be fulfilled before Jesus comes back. One of them is that the gospel has to be preached in every corner of this world. In the most remote places, nobody can die without saying they had a chance to meet Jesus. Nobody will escape hearing the word of the Lord, no matter where they are. So that's one of the last prophecies to be fulfilled. And the other one, there has to be peace in Jerusalem. There has to be return. And so we're seeing this right before our eyes. If you look at the news, everything is about Israel, 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 Israel. And then you're hearing evangelism going all over the world. And other prophecies, if you would take a look at Matthew 24 and 25, sons against fathers, daughters against mothers, and divers of earthquakes and different things happening in the atmosphere. You're talking about global warning, it's been prophesied. You're talking about things that are happening, the mark of the beast, it's been prophesied. The end times are here, and God is saying to the church, wake up. Don't be left behind. Don't be lost. But I want you to know the time of the season that we're living in. And so Joel prophesied that this is happening, but I've got some good news. I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And in the midst of what's happening in the earth, there shall be a strong people. There shall be a powerful people. There shall be a confident people that will carry on my will and that will be able to finish my work. Count me in. That's the message today. Count me in. You're getting involved with your life group so you can get empowered, so you can know more about the hope of your calling, so you can know more about salvation and to know that it's more than coming to church and giving money and having a good time in praise and worship. Count me in is the topic today, and I want you to just let that roll over in your mind as we go into some more scriptures. Last week, Pastor Alex talked about a vision or a dream that he had, and I got a scripture to go along with this dream. When he called me, it was 6 o'clock in the morning, whatever time it was, and he told me about it, and I immediately went to Numbers, the 11th chapter, beginning at the 16th and the 17th verse. How many were here on last week? You remember the vision and the dream he shared, how he just got at the foot of the cross and he stayed there and he wept and he cried and he felt this tremendous amount of love. And then he saw the other men coming in. And the Lord gave me a revelation of that. And he said, "My God, Pastor, that's what it is." I said, "Yeah." Because the load that he was carrying, and not that something that he couldn't forbear, but what he took, he saw the great vision. He saw what God wanted to do with new life, and he sees what God wants to do in the earth. And he just, you know, you take it upon yourself as a pastor that, got to do this. How am I going to do this? And so you worry, and how is this going to happen? How are I going to bring this apart? What kind of strategy do I need? What plan? How can I get the people to get it? How can I get them to get the vision? And so here's what God told Moses when Moses said to the Lord, "This is too much. This load is too much. I can't carry this load by myself. I need help." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Gather before me 70 men who are recognized as elders and leaders of Israel. Bring them to the tabernacle to stand there with you." Can I tell you something about the DNA and the assignment with this church? Pastor Alex raised leaders, not just followers. If you're here today, there's some leadership ability inside of you. You may not be the president or the CEO of a company, but there is something great that God has put in you that he wants to use you, and he's going to you. You may not have a clue of why you are here and with all of this empowerment. You can't see your future, but he knows your future. And so he provides a platform for you to come and learn to get empowered because he knows where you're going, what you're going to be doing, and he needs to get you prepared. Anybody with me? Come on, count me in, because you're going someplace. You are somebody. And so he told Moses, "You need some help. You need some help. Find 70 people that are really connected to you, that really want to help you do what I've called you to do." And they did. He said, "I will come down and talk to you there. I will take some of the spirit that is upon you, and I will put the spirit upon them also, and they will bear the burden of the people along with you, so you will not have to carry it alone." That was what part of that dream, that vision was about. God was showing him that you are saying, "Count me in, Pastor Alex. I'm here. I'm going to help carry out the vision. I'm going to help do what God wants us to do in this geographical location and even some parts of the world. I'm going to be one that God is going to pour his spirit upon. I'm going to be one that's going to be so connected that when you, what you see, I can see along with you. I'm going to be one that you can say, I'm in." Many people are numbered, Andre, but they're not counted. Don't be a number. Don't come to church and be a statistic or a number. Be able to stand up and say, "No, I'm not following afar off, but I am in this for the long haul, and yes, you can count me in." And it may take some sacrifices. It may take some adjustments of some priorities. It may take a little bit more than you want to give, but when you see the full picture and the vision, and if you understand that we are so privileged to be working with the Lord to build the kingdom. We're so privileged that he will put his spirit in us. He will give his power and his vision and his glory and his anointing. We're so privileged that we're not still lost, but we've been found. We're so privileged that we're not living in darkness, but we know the light. And we can walk in the light, and we want to be here. I hope nobody was forced to come today. I hope nobody put a gun at your head and said, "Go to church. You better go to church." I hope no husband threatened no wife, and I hope no wife threatened no husband. I hope nobody was threatened to come. I hope that you came on your own will and volition, and you said, "There's something at New Life for me. There's something that I know I'm going to receive. But not only that, I want to be counted in." Don't be just a number. Be just a number. Yeah. Count me in. And so this is what the 70 men said, "I'm signing up." We hear the slogan from the government, "Uncle Sam needs a few good men." Well, I want to tell you something. Jesus needs a few good men and women. Hallelujah. And I don't know about you, but I'm in for the long haul. Hallelujah. This needs to be spoken out and exemplified. Because when you say, "Count me in," it's not only to God, but it's for each other. Person that next to you, they may need you at some time. They may need your encouragement. They may need $5. laugh because I said it, I could have said 100. They may need to borrow $5. They may need to borrow your car for a day. They may need you. They may need you to pat them on the back. They may need you to give them a word of encouragement. They may need you. And you have to not only say to God, you can count on me, but we have to say to each other, this is vertical relationship and horizontal relationship. You have to say to each other, you got to be so connected. We have to be so involved with each other. We have to care not only about Sunday morning, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And you can have to say to the person next to you, you can count on me. Come on, let's try it. The person next to you say, you can count on me. You can count on me. Do you really mean that? Think about it. A world that we live in that's so cold and callous, so unconcerning. And, you know, there's a time when people die, everybody went to the funerals. But now, just the family, a few close friends. The time that we're living in, the time when people are not caring. It's just me and my four and no more. And I ain't got time for that. You see somebody that need a hand, that need a ride or something, and we just pass them by. We're busy doing our own thing. It's survival skills, you know? But this is the love of Jesus, and this is what God is looking for, the kind of people that will live a life that love him and love each other. Yeah. Come on, one more time, tell that person, you can really count on me. Now, some of y'all didn't say it, but that's all right. It's all right. You might need something. That's all right. No, I'm not going there. This statement of you can count on me not only talks about responsibility, but it talks about accountability. It doesn't point directly to accessibility because a lot of us are accessible, but we're not available. I just said something. A lot of us are available and we're not accessible. And then a lot of times we're accessible, but we're not available. And sometimes the one that could be, I was with you with the children's ministry today. I was just like, only 6 times a year that we can participate in the children's ministry? Only 6 times? I'm like, come on, let's get connected. You can count on me. Somebody ought to be telling my dear sister after church, you can count on me for the children's ministry after this message. You can count on me. Somebody ought to be saying to Pastor Alex, you can count on me. I'm going to be here. Sometimes it's good to be just present. And when you talk about you can count on me, it tells me that you value yourself and you value what God has given you to give. Mm-hmm. When you say, I'm worth something, when you know you have something to give, you're going to be responsible. And you're going to say, I need to be there. I needed to be here this morning because I had something to give. Happy about it. Glad about it. Last Sunday when Pastor Alex said, can you preach for me, Pastor Judy? I said, certainly I can. I didn't say, Pastor Alex, I got my own service at 12:30. You know, I'm preaching already. I didn't say anything. I was happy to be available, and I was happy to be accessible because I'm responsible. And I love you too, by the way. You know, I love you. I love you. You're supposed to say, I love you too, Pastor Judy. I love you too. I can count on you, can count on me, but can I count on you to love me too? So this is what God is saying, looking for a group of people. The scripture that says, many are called, but few are chosen, it comes out of Matthew 22, and it's a parable that Jesus told, and when Jesus wanted the people to really, really, really get something, he told parables. So Matthew 22 starts out talking about that many were called to a wedding. And they got called to the wedding, and some people did not want to come. Some people say, I got something else to do. Some people say, I'm coming, but they didn't show up. They said, I'm coming, but they didn't show up. In their mind, they know they wasn't going to show up. They said, I'm numbered. Put me in. Here's my reservation. Put me down. Put my name on the chair. Get my dinner ready. I'll be there. Numbered. But they didn't show up. They didn't show up. They were all called. Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come. You that are hungry, thirsty, come. So we are all called. We all get a chance to respond to him. We are all called. Say, we all are called. You get a chance to respond in a greater way to this message. When you hear, you are called and you have a sense of responsibility and accountability to say, I've got to respond to the call of God. And so the parable says that they were all invited. They were all called to the wedding. But only a few came. And the end of that says, many are called, but few are chosen. The calling comes from God, but the thing that qualifies the chosen is not preference that I like you more than the person. It's that I have decided that you can count me in and I'm going to show up. I'm going to show up. We're called, but what makes us chosen is when we say, I'm going to answer the call. We do the choosing. We choose ourselves and we say, count me in, God, I'm ready. You called me and I answered. The ones that did not get chosen is because they did not respond to the call. So don't blame him. It's all what you want. And he says, these are the ones that I'm looking at and looking for to pour my spirit out, to favor with my blessings, to show the kingdom too. So today, you're here today because he called you. And then you say today, count me in. And now you're chosen. So before you came in, maybe you were called. But when you leave here, you're going to be chosen because you're going to make a decision. And you're going to say, you know what? I'm going to do this. No matter what nobody else says, I'm going to do this. No matter what my family says, I'm going to do this. Even if I don't understand every single thing, I'm going to do this. I'm going to try this. Count me in. Andre, put my name down. What group am I going to be in? I'll be there. Sometimes all God wants you to do is just show up. Just show up. Don't have to figure it out. They don't have to want anything from you, but if you value what God is doing in your life, and if you value your own life so it can be poured into and empowered into, you're going to show up. And he said, just show up and I'll do the rest. I'll do the rest. You showed up today. He's given you his word. I mean, it's a good word too, man. It's a good word. You showed up and he does the rest. And your presence means a lot. Your presence encourages me. My presence encourages you. When you see a lot of people, that's encouraging. When you see just a few, that's discouraging. When you come to the life groups and it's just two, like, oh man, wish it was more. I don't know if I'm gonna go back next week. But if it's 15 or 20, oh yeah, we're gonna have a good time. And you get encouraged. So sometimes people, even if you don't think you have to give, just show up. Just show up. And let God figure out what he wants to do with you and in your life. Just say, I want to be a part. Count me in. I may not sing like the rest of them, and I may not can talk like the rest of them, but I just want to be here. I want to be in the number. Count me in. Can I get any takers today? Count me in. Yeah, count me in. I understand where the church is going. Count me in. Count my offering in. Count my tithes in. Now, don't just let me come here and be a number and take in all the good. How many go to Red Lobster and Olive Garden and Granite City and Minerva's and eat and don't pay? What? And then you have the nerve to tip on top of that? Then you have the nerve to tip on top of that? And I get real angry with people with me and they don't tip right. I'm like, you know what? Don't sit at my table. If you can't tip the people right, do not sit with me. Don't make me look bad. Yeah. I'm loving, I'm caring, I'm giving. So I want this is how the kingdom operates. I give you a little bit more than you deserve. You know, maybe you do better the next time. You know, that's a good question. What happens? What happens when you go to a restaurant and the waitress or the waiter doesn't do a good job? My niece works out in Vermilion at that restaurant out there, and she said, Aunt Judy, you know, when people don't do a good job, I tell them, only give them a penny. And when they give them a penny, that tells them something. I said, you don't do that, do you? She said, that's the way I get my people to be better. I was like, no, you don't do that. So what do you do when the waitress or the waiter doesn't do a good service? Do you give them less? Do you just give them a little bit, or do you just do a little bit more? You give them a little bit more? You ask them to do more. Okay. How many feel like, I got you, brother. I got you. Yeah, I'm with you. God bless you. You can go. You can eat with me. Yeah, you can go out with me. Do you like, no, they didn't do me well. They didn't give me a good service. So I'm just only going to give them 5% and not 10%. And they better be glad they got the 5%. Don't hold your hand up because I know y'all do it. They don't deserve my tip. Oh, they only get the tip. I didn't pay for my food. They only get the tip if they're good. I'm just saying. Is that right? I'm just saying. You could, maybe there could be a little bit more love in your heart. If they didn't have the service to give, maybe there could be a little bit more love in your heart. And maybe that extra that you give to them will cause them to be a little better. And they may say, you know what? God is just good. I really don't deserve this. I wasn't nice to them. Count me in. Count me in to do the right thing. Count me in to do 10% and not 8%. And by the way, did you know if it's not 10%, it's not a tithe? Oh, blessed quietness, holy quietness. If it's not 10%, it's not a tithe. It could be anything else, but it's not a tithe. This is for free. Pastor Allison didn't tell me to say this. And if it's not given into the storehouse, this is the storehouse, it's not a tithe. It's not given to the TV ministry. It's not given to your friends because they need a little extra money. The tithe consists of, how did I get off on that? The tithe consists of being in the house and being 10%. Come on, somebody say, count me in to do it the right way. Count me in to do it the right way. Come prepared. Come prepared. When Jesus says, I'm calling you, then he equips you and he prepares you. The parable of the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish, 25th chapter of Matthew. You can read it when you get home. There were 5 wise and there were 5 foolish. The five wise went and got their oil so they can be ready to go in when the bridegroom came. And the 5 foolish, they got their oil, but their oil just, you know, got away from them. And they were supposed to get the same amount of oil, but they just started doing their own thing. They just took a chance and they were not diligent as the 5 wise. That's why it says 5 wise and 5 foolish. So the 5 wise made sure they had enough oil. The 5 wise stayed consistent. The 5 wise said, you can count me in. I'm going to be there. The 5 wise was ready because we don't know the time. He can come at any moment. He can come at any day. So they had to be ready. The 5 foolish said, oh, we got time. We don't have to go today. It's all right. We don't have to do that cell group. We go to Sunday morning. That's enough. We got enough. We have enough. We had enough. That's the rest of them. We cool. We got it. That long as I'm there on Sunday morning, that's good. The 5 foolish didn't take enough oil that they need. You go home and read the parable for yourself. And when the bridegroom came, it's a parable. When the bridegroom came to take them all in to say, enter into the kingdom, the 5 wise that had enough oil went in. And the 5 foolish said, oh my God, we don't have enough oil. Can you give us some of your oil? They said, not this time. We just have enough for ourselves. Not this time. I don't have time to encourage you right now. Not this time. We got to go. So the 5 foolish that fooled around, the 5 foolish that just did it their way, the 5 foolish that did not take heed to the urgency, the 5 foolish that did not stay connected, did not stay filled, they went to get their oil. They finally got it. They got it. And they went. When they went, the Bible said the door was shut in their face because it was too late. Too late. They got it, but it was too late. You cannot let it be said too late. You have to say, count me in now because I want to be ready at all times. Got to be ready. Get filled up. Stay filled up. You leak out sometimes when you drive a car and you put the gas in. Well, by the end of the week, you need more gas because you ran out of gas because you've been busy. So we get busy in our Christian life and we get tired and we get drained and we need strength. You need strength. It's not that you're weak because you just need strength. It's not bad. You're not sin. You just need strength. Just need strength. Sometimes you're like, can't wait to get to Sunday. I'm going to be all right if I can just get to Sunday. But just in case you run out of gas on Friday, you got to know how to get your oil before it's too late. Be like the 5 wise. Count me in. I'm going to stay full. I'm going to stay connected. I'm in. Last scripture, Isaiah 6th chapter. When the prophet Isaiah, again, he was already prophesying. He wasn't backsliding, but he came to a new place of commitment. And the Lord gave him a vision. And the vision was, the Lord was high and lifted up, and the train of his glory filled the temple. And there were angels all around. They were saying, holy, holy, Hosanna to the highest. Thou art worthy, O God. And he was in the midst of the presence of God. And he said to God, I am unworthy. I am undone. I need you to touch my lips with coals of fire to cleanse me. Say the wrong stuff. I speak the wrong words. I need you to take coals from the altar and cleanse me and purify me. He says, woe unto me. I'm undone, but I want to be counted in. And when he came to the place of, I need to do my due diligence. I need to be prepared so he can count me in. He said these words. Then I said, it's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of Heaven's army. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, see, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven. One touch from the Lord can cause you to say, count me in. The next verse, then I heard the Lord saying, who can I count on? Who can I send? Who will answer the call? I send as a messenger to this people. Who will go for us? And the prophet Isaiah said, count me in. Here am I. I will go. You can send me. You can use me. I'm ready. I've counted up the cause. With a people of believers that I like. I want to be a part of what they're doing. I want to know more. I do want to grow, but I got to get connected. And today, Lord, I'm saying to you, today, Lord, I'm making my claim. I'm making my declaration, and I'm saying to the heavens, you can count me in. Today, I'm saying to my fellow sisters and brothers, I'm not just here to be in and out, not relational. But I'm here to get connected. I'm here so I can be bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. I'm here so the love of Jesus can flow from my heart to your heart. I'm here so we can build the kingdom together. And anything that would be divisive to stop us, I don't want to be a part of it. Anything that would keep me away from connecting, I don't want to be a part of it. Even if I have my own ideas, my own opinions, Lord, even in the midst of that, when I don't understand everything, I'm saying, I don't care, Lord, just count me in. It's going to be all right after a while. I don't have to understand everything. I don't even have to agree with everything, but I just know I want to be counted in. I want to be a part of what you're doing in these last days. Pour out your spirit upon me, Lord. I want more of you. I want more of your power and your glory. I want you to use me in these last days. I want to be one of the men that have those dreams. I want to be one of those young men that will have those visions. I want to know you. I want to see you. I want that encounter, the one like Pastor Alex had last week, and that same spirit that was upon him will be upon me. Lord, I want more of you. I want to fall at the feet of your cross. I want you to break my heart. I want you to rend my heart. I want to experience you like never before. Count me in for a new experience today. Yes, I'm saved. Yes, I love God, but count me in for the long haul. Count me in for a deeper walk, Lord. That's what I want. Count me in. I'm ready to be connected. At the onset of this year, the month of January, the month of beginnings, God is saying to you today, part of the 70 elders, God is saying today, are you one that say, count me in? It's a lot of you here today, but some of you is not going to make the cut because you're not making a decision to say, today I hear your voice. I won't harden my heart. But you can change that decision, and you can say, today, I hear your voice, and I'm going to take the guts that I have and the little bit of faith I have, and I'm going to stand, and I'm going to be counted. 32,000 was in Gideon's army in Judges, the 7th chapter. 32,000 were numbered, and out of that 32,000, it was only 300 left that was counted. Mommy, what happened? Who shrunk the army? What happened to Gideon's army? It's because there were complainers. There were people that wanted to do their own thing. And there were moaners and they were disobedient. They were rebellious. And God says, you don't need them. They're numbered. We can't count on them. So Gideon said, well, here's 10,000. The Lord says, still too many. They still want to be numbered. They don't want to be counted. They're going to give you trouble in about a month. Get rid of them. Went all the way down to 300. 300 were numbered, and 300 won the battle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, because they were one. And because they all had the same mind. And they said, Gideon, what do you want us to do? What's our test? It wasn't easy, but they passed the test. They threw away their own agenda, and they said, we have a leader, and we're going to follow the leader. It was 500 in the book of Acts, in the first chapter, that went to Jerusalem to the upper room to wait for the day of Pentecost. 500 numbered, 500. They all heard what Jesus said. Go to Jerusalem and tarry and wait there until you be endowed with power from on high. Don't you leave. Don't you dare try to live this life without the Holy Spirit. You stay there until you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because if you don't get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can't be a witness of my power. You can't live a successful life down here on earth. So stay there. 500 were there to usher in the new move of God. 500 started, but only 120 were numbered. Read the book for yourself, Acts first chapter. Some said, I got to go see about my wife. Some said, I just got married. Give me a break. Come on. Some said, I got a business to take care of. 120 paid the price, and they stayed. And they were there on the day of Pentecost when a mighty rushing wind came and caused a great phenomenon to happen in the earth that we are still being recipients of today. And that's when the Holy Spirit fell into the earth once and for all. Hallelujah. Count me in. There's a move of God coming out of this church. He can't do it by himself. He's looking for men and women that God can pour his spirit upon, can get them prepared and equipped for the journey. You think, I can't do it. Yes, you can. With him. You can't by yourself, but getting connected, you can. We can. You don't have to do anything but make a decision in your heart right now. This is not an altar call, but if you want to know Jesus, and if you want him to be a part of your life and you don't know him, and you say, Lord Jesus, I want to be counted in. I want you for real, for real. I don't want to just come to church and be numbered. I want to be saved today. I want to be saved today. That's the first one. If that's you, just hold your hand out and say, you can count on me. I want to be saved today. I see one in the back. Just want to do a house check. Just a house check. Is there another one that want to be saved today if you are not already saved? All right, done. If you didn't get it now, get it when you get home. Here's one. If you would say today, out of your own volition, after hearing the word of the Lord, Lord, I'm responding to that word. I'm going to be connected to my church and to the vision of my church and the people of my church because you brought me here. And you ordained. You know, people say, I can go home and I can stay and I can watch TV. That's not the way God set it up. He said, come and assemble yourselves together because I want to use you. There's power and strength. You may have all different kind of stuff going on, but we all can come and say yes to agreeing at the name of Jesus and living for Jesus. If it's you today and you've been numbered but not counted, and you say, today, Pastor Judy, Pastor Alice is not here, but I don't need him to be here today. I'm saying this for myself. I've been coming around here a long time, but today I'm making a decision on this day, the first month of this year, to be counted and not just numbered. You don't have to come to the front, but I want you to boldly stand and say, from this moment on, I'm going to be connected and I'm going to be counted. Whoever you are, I want you to boldly stand and let heaven, hell, and earth know I'm in. I'm in for the long haul. God bless you, my sister. God bless you. God bless you for getting connected. God bless you. Catching the vision. God bless you, my brother. God bless you.